Amen. Well, the title of today's message is We Need Wisdom. We need wisdom. This is a Christmas message. Christmas message. We need wisdom. In this season, the church needs wisdom. The church needs wisdom. These are precarious times, and we need wisdom. These are challenging times, and we need wisdom. These are times of opportunity for the church, and we need wisdom. We need wisdom. But this isn't the first time in history where we've seen precarious, challenging, opportune times. In fact, the time of Jesus' birth was much like this in its own way. It was precarious. It was challenging. There was upheaval. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on, but it was also a time of opportunity. Back in those days, there was a group of guys who wanted to understand the times that they were in. And this group of guys sought understanding and wisdom of what's going on in the world today. What is the most important thing? What do we need to be aware of, and what do we need to be focused on right now? And so these men, they sought an understanding of the times. And as they were doing that, they became aware that something big was about to happen. And they wanted to be part of it. Something big was about to happen, and they wanted to be part of it. If something big is about to happen, do you want to be part of it? You want to be part of it? You want to know what that big thing is? Yeah. All right, well, we got some seeking to do, don't we? We do, we do. These guys were so convinced that something big was about to happen that they were willing to invest their time, their reputation, and their resources to ensure that they wouldn't miss this big thing that was about to happen. So again, the title of today's message is We Need Wisdom. It's our Christmas message this year. What the Lord clearly directed me to this week for us, for such a time as this. Turn me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Matthew 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, these magi, also known as wise men, from the east, they came to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Now, most people, even most people who don't know Jesus, are familiar with this story. They're familiar with the wise men. But as we look at this story, this familiar story, we discover it's really pretty mysterious. And it's clouded with myth and tradition. In fact, during the Middle Ages, folklore said that these guys were kings. Said that there were three of them in number. Middle Ages folklore came up with this. In fact, even gave them names: Caspar, Belshazzar, Melchior. And then there was a 12th century bishop of Cologne that even claimed that he found the skulls of these three kings. I think that's kind of creepy. That's kind of strange. That's a little creepy. But how many of you know that people can get strange and creepy sometimes? Anyway, all right. Lord help us. But here's the deal. The only facts that we really have on these magi are the few facts that we find right here in the Gospel of Matthew. Right here in the Word of God. In the Gospel of Matthew, it doesn't tell us the number of magi. definitely doesn't give us their names. Doesn't even tell us how they got to Palestine. In other words, doesn't talk about the camels, that they rode on camels and all that stuff. It doesn't even say what country or countries that these guys came from. There's a lot of mystery surrounding these wise men, these magi. But here's one thing that we do know, is that these foreigners knew about the birth of Jesus. These foreigners knew that something big was happening. And they knew that this was the birth of a special king. And they knew this even before Israel knew this. They knew this before the king of Israel knew this. In church, we got to be like these wise men. And we need the wisdom of the times. And that's point number one. I can say we can be like these wise men. We should be like these wise men. And we should have the wisdom of the times. It jumps out at me. I think it's really important that these guys knew about the birth of Jesus. Again, they weren't Jewish scholars. These weren't the political or the spiritual elite of Israel. But they knew about the birth of the Son of God. They knew about that. They had wisdom and understanding of what God was doing. Even when the children of God didn't. How's that possible? How does that happen? These guys knew what God was up to, that he was up to something. They had the wisdom of the times. During his ministry, if you jump forward to Matthew 16, we find that Jesus rebuked, or as Pastor Emmanuel would say, rebuked. I don't know why that just came to my mind, but just remember him saying that word. He says it very, very convincingly. Anyway, Jesus rebuked the spiritual elite, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because they didn't have that kind of wisdom. They didn't understand the times that they were living in. Matthew 16, verse 2, Jesus replied to these spiritual elites, and he said, when evening comes, you say, hey, look, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And then in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. And then he says this to them. He says, hey, look, you know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. To me, that means Jesus wants us to be able to interpret and understand the signs of the times. He doesn't want his people walking around blind, not knowing what's going on in the world, not understanding what he is up to right here on this earth. And we, the church, his people, can have this kind of wisdom. Merry Christmas, if you didn't know this. We have the gift, the ability. God's given us all we need for life and godliness and understanding the times that we live in. But how do we get this? How do we get this kind of wisdom of the times? Watching CNN, right? Oh, God help us. Hey, I just want to tell you, I'm going to be so bold as to say this. If you're watching CNN or MSNBC or those mainstream media things, and that's where you think you're getting like what's really going on in the world today, oh my, stop it, stop it. You're getting played is all I'm saying. You're getting played. Anyway, let's get back to what God is saying here from Matthew 2. And actually, let's jump to Jeremiah 29, 13. That's two verses away from Jeremiah 29, 11 that everybody loves and right speaks over your life, right? Jeremiah 29, 13, God tells us something amazing. He says this, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's amazing right there. You will seek me and find me. God is saying, you will find me. You'll find me. You'll find what I'm up to. You'll have a wisdom and understanding of me and my perspective and what I'm doing in you and in the earth. You will find me when you seek me with all your heart. We can have this kind of understanding of God and what he's up to. Jeremiah is saying if we want him bad enough, if we want wisdom bad enough, if we want God bad enough, we can get him and we can have this. See, these wise men were serious seekers. They weren't just messing around. They weren't just kind of going through life. Whatever happens, happens. And I'm sure in the end, it's all going to work out. By the way, if that's your approach to life as a Christian, you're not on God's path on that. Just kind of cruise through life and whatever happens, happens. No. Jesus rebuked spiritual leaders for that kind of approach to life. You don't even understand the signs of the times. You're not even paying attention. You're not even concerned with what I'm doing. You're not listening to my prophetic voice. You're not in my word and trusting this more than what the world is saying and swirling around us. No. So these wise men were serious seekers. They heard rumors, also known as prophecies. They heard prophetic words of a special king being born. And so they gave their lives because of these rumors, because of these prophetic words that had reached them about this special king that was to be born. They gave their lives seeking understanding of how to be part of this amazing historic event that was going to be happening. They poured their lives into it. They poured their resources into it. Their time, their talent, their reputations, they poured into being part of this rumor, this prophecy. And we know this promise from God that was about to happen. They wanted to figure out how to see this king and to worship this king. So they sought wisdom. They sought direction and understanding that would lead them to the king. And we can do the same thing. We, the people of God, can do the same thing. James tells us that. James 1, verse 5 says this. Says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God for wisdom. I don't know what's going on in the world today. Are you asking God? Are you seeking the Lord? Are you listening to his voice? Are you letting him guide you into all truth? In understanding, because if we lack wisdom, if we lack understanding, we can ask God. And it says that he will give generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. That's amazing. And I believe if we believe that word, that we will be serious seekers of wisdom and understanding of God and what God is up to. If we believe this, if we believe what Scripture says, if we don't, and we think it's just kind of like a fortune cookie, something we pull out whenever we want a little pick-me-up or whatever, then we're not going to be seeking. Like those wise men, we can know the signs of the times. We can ask God for wisdom on how to navigate the world and to find him. Check this out in Proverbs 2. We're going to go through the first six verses of Proverbs 2. Again, I want you to grab hold of what Scripture is saying, because this is truth. This is our portion as his people right now. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it, as for silver, and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. You know, let's let that sink in. God's word tells us that we can know some pretty deep things. We can know the mysteries if we seek it out. So, Merry Christmas. Let's take a moment. I want to talk about that star. So the wise men saw a star, right? They're seeking the Lord. They're like, okay, when's it going to happen? We know about this prophetic word. We're studying it. We're looking for understanding and insight. And all of a sudden, the Lord puts a star, puts this bright light up in the sky. And because these guys have been studying and looking for understanding and understanding the times, they knew that that was the sign for them to go, and it would lead them to the special king that was to be born. But I often wonder, was it really a star? I want to know what that bright light was. Was it a star? Some say it was a planet or a couple planets coming together and creating a bright light. Others say it was the radiant glory of God. Was it the light, the same light that the shepherds saw that evening? The book of Numbers 24:17 prophesies that a star shall come forth from Jacob. And then Jesus himself in Revelation 22:16 calls himself the bright and morning star. So I was just thinking about this. This is kind of extra credit in here about the whole star thing, because I was just thinking about it this week, so I thought I'd throw it in here. I believe that that star was a brilliant manifestation of the sign of the Son of Man. That's what I believe that light was. I believe that light was the Shekinah glory of God standing over Bethlehem. That same light that would shine over the tabernacle as it was in the wilderness, the Shekinah glory of God. And like that pillar of that cloud of light that guided Israel, but produced darkness to Egypt that we find in Exodus 14, I believe that only the eyes of the Magi were really the ones who saw this bright light and had an understanding of what it was. Their eyes were open to this light over Bethlehem. They saw his Shekinah glory because they were seekers. They were looking for it. They were positioned. And God allowed them to see something that even the people of Israel didn't see or understand. I believe it was the radiant glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God. And I would argue that these wise men saw what others couldn't see because, again, they were invested in seeing and knowing and understanding. They were diligent. They were serious. And I think that's the same way for us today. God is showing himself to his people. God is displaying his glory. He's speaking to his church. He is not absent or far from us. Just as Christ came down and became very near to us, God is near to us right now, and he's still showing himself to those who diligently and seriously seek him. He's still showing himself. Daniel 2:28 says, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. And he's the same today as he was when Daniel made this statement, spoke this word. There is a God in heaven who is revealing mysteries. Do you want to know them? We can. God's not playing hide and seek with us. It's not a game of peekaboo with the Lord. It isn't. He wants us to know him more and more. That's why he says in Scripture that we are being changed, transformed all the time, from glory to glory, we're being transformed as we are learning and experiencing, and God's mysteries are at work in our lives and transforming us, and we're getting closer to Him, and our eyes are becoming enlightened. I mean, it's an amazing life and gift that we have from God, that we can know Him and His mysteries. So we need the wisdom of the times. But point number two, we need wisdom to worship. We need the wisdom of the times, but we also need wisdom to worship. It says in Matthew 2:11, back to the Magi, it says, on coming to the house, they saw the child, that's Jesus, with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These wise men weren't seeking Jesus just to check a box. Been there, done that. Got the t-shirt. No. They were seeking Jesus to worship him. Because they had wisdom and understanding of who this was. The special king, the real king. Wise men and women worship Jesus. Wise men and women worship Jesus. And today the church needs some of this wisdom to worship, this wisdom that compels us to run after God, not to check off a box, but to worship Him, to be with Him, to give Him glory and honor, to show up in His presence and say, "You are worthy. You are worthy." We need that kind of wisdom. And it takes wisdom. It takes the mind of God really to do that. Because the carnal, fleshly mind, oh no. Why would I get up? Why would I not have the ball game on? Why wouldn't I just go out and try to make a few more bucks? They got deals on Amazon right now. Why wouldn't I do that? I got to take advantage of that. That sale only happens once a year. It's pretty important. We need wisdom to worship Jesus. A lot of stuff gets in the way. Maybe we ought to be contemplating what's getting in the way. What keeps us from making the journey? What keeps us from getting up and making the journey and bringing our gifts, which is our act of worship, which is our lives, which is our devotion? What keeps us from doing that? What keeps us from coming together to worship our King? Laziness? Self-sufficiency, we kind of got everything we need. Everything's going great in life right now. Everything's just chugging right along. Everything's working out right now. What is it? For some, it is health. I want to pray for you. In Jesus' name, be healed. That you would be released to be able to gather and worship. For some, it's fear. What happens if I really, really just surrender all to God and really show up in that kind of environment where God is showing up? What's going to happen to me? What's God going to say? What's He going to reveal? Is He going to reject me? No. He's going to be pleased. Of course, today, the excuse that we use for anything, COVID, right? It's the COVID. Whatever. I won't go there right now. By the way, if you want to kind of get my update on that, I did a COVID update on Friday, and it's out on our YouTube channel, our COVID-19 update. So I encourage you to take a look at that, kind of get my heart, but not just my heart, but as the elders, we processed that on Thursday morning before I recorded the update. So just kind of get our perspective on that. So I encourage you to do that. Take a look at that. But anyway, I submit that a low desire to make the effort to come before the Lord and worship is an indication of something deeper. I think it's an indication that something needs some attention and needs some attention quickly. It's an indication that something's out of alignment. It just is. A lack of desire to worship the Lord on His terms, in His way, for His glory. There's something wrong. My son, Grant, just bought a new car. It's actually a used car. It's a 2017 Hyundai Sonata. And it looks great. It's in good condition, but it had a couple of problems with it. And that allowed him to get a good deal on the vehicle. Paid $1,000 less. I mean, it was under Blue Book. He did a great deal on buying it. And the issues with the vehicle, one of them was whenever you turn the steering wheel, it would go click, 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 click. Not supposed to do that. You know what I mean? Click, 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 click. And so my son, before he bought it, researched that. He Googled it, as they say, right? And he found out that almost for sure, this is an $11 part that needs to be replaced. And once that $11 part is replaced, you won't have that problem anymore. So he's like, all right, I'll buy your car. He proceeded then to tear out the entire steering column. I mean, the whole thing. Piece by piece by piece. I mean, the pieces were ever there. I had to walk away. I was getting nervous, you know. But my 22-year-old son, he's unafraid of this stuff, man. He just went for it, you know, armed with a YouTube video and some good hands on how to fix things and do things. He tore the whole thing apart, got down to that little $11 part, took out the old one, which was all torn up and chewed up, and put the other $11 little piece of plastic. Can you believe that? Little plastic type stuff. And I mean, no wonder it goes bad. Put it in there. Put it all back together. There were no parts left over. Started the car. It didn't blow up. The airbag didn't, you know, go off right away. And then he went out for the test drive. When I'm just like, Lord, protect him. Lord, protect him. Anyway, he fixed it. See, that clicking, there was something out of alignment. There was something wrong. And it needed attention. It needed some attention and brought back into order so that everything worked properly. And so if there's something out of alignment, if there's something that's just causing you and preventing you from being excited to come before the Lord in worship, I would encourage you, figure it out. Don't Google it, but go to the Lord on it. You know, Bible it. Seek the Lord on it. Pray it. You know what I mean? Go to God. What is that? What is that part of me that needs adjustment or replacement? Wise men and women worship Jesus, and they love to worship. And it's not just all about song. I get it. Some of us don't like to sing a whole lot, but we still do it because it make a joyful noise, you know, out of tune, out of key, whatever noise. Make a joyful noise. Maybe you just want to mouth it a little bit, have it come out quietly, but you're clapping and you're praising. I don't know. Anyway, let's move on. These wise men, these foreigners, these guys were foreigners. They had not received God's grace. In other words, they did not have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. These were not Spirit-filled men. They weren't. Yet, these foreigners, unregenerated, non-Spirit-filled guys, even were able to have such motivation to worship Jesus that they would go to these extreme lengths to come before Him and to worship, to see Him, to be with Him, and to give Him gifts. To me, that's astounding. We've got God's grace. We have a Spirit dwelling within us. We're reborn in Christ Jesus. And again, as Scripture says, we have all we need for this kind of life and for godliness. So Merry Christmas for that one too. The willingness to go to extraordinary lengths to worship Jesus is a sign of wisdom. I'm going to get to the last point here, the last lesson that I'm finding that I'm supposed to bring from these magi, these wise guys from Matthew chapter 2. And I believe that this last point, hold on here, this last point may be kind of like a little shocking, may sound a little weird. I've never heard this in a Christmas message before. But hang with me. I really believe that this could be something that we need to hear for such a time as this. And don't read into what I just said there or what I'm about to say. Like, I'm not planning anything or thinking. I'm not trying to expand this beyond, but let's just dive into point number three. Point number three is we, the church, we need wisdom to disregard worldly leaders and rules. Say what? What's he saying about this? This is a Christmas message. This is a Christmas message for 2020. This is a Christmas. We need wisdom on when we need to disregard our worldly leaders and their rules. Matthew 2:12, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, these magi, they returned to their country by another route. Herod, the king, said, you go find this special king, come back to me and tell me all about it. That's what the king told these guys to do. That was his command. That was his charge. That was his executive order to these guys. But having been warned in a dream not to do this, they didn't do what the worldly king told them to do. They disregarded it, and they did what they heard God tell them to do in this dream instead. They ignored the request of the king. Is there a time to disregard, even disobey our worldly leaders? And the one-word answer to that is yes. It's yes. And again, you're like, why is he talking about this on Christmas? We're supposed to talk about the little baby in a manger and all of that. This is part of the Christmas story. And I believe it truly is for such a time as this. And I'm not saying just go out there and start just disobeying everything and just in the name of Jesus, you know, I'm not going to pay my taxes. In the name of Jesus, you know, I'm going to whatever, right? I'm not saying that. So don't hear what I'm not saying, all right? Everybody clear? All right. Everybody's clear. But I am saying that there are times when we need to say, mm-mm, can't do it. Can't do what you're telling me to do, Governor. Can't do it. If the request of a worldly leader is in opposition to a request from God, then we have to ignore the demand of the worldly leader. Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. There are things that we need to give to Caesar, to worldly governments and worldly leaders. We need to respect them. But there are things that we don't give to Caesar and then we give to God that are his, things that we need to give to him. There just are. Daniel did this. He was told it was illegal to pray. Daniel went ahead and prayed. Sound familiar? I mean, this guy was dedicated to the worldly leader, the king of the time. He was serving him diligently. But there was a line that was crossed, and he said, now you're in God's territory here. I can't give you that. I'm going to have to disregard what you asked me to do. And he prayed. He prayed. He gave God what was his devotion, his prayer. And you think, wow, that was back in Daniel's day. But this stuff is going on today, not in Arizona, praise God. Not in the East Valley here. But it's going on today in our nation, where Christians are being told by government leaders, do not gather. Do not pray together. Do not sing to Jesus together. You can go out and protest the police, but do not get together in the name of Jesus to sing to him, to pray to him, and to fellowship with him. It's gone on. Our neighbors to the west, California, it's happened there. That's Babylon. I mean, anyway, that's California. And here's my response to that, and I pray it never does happen in Arizona. That things just turn around even right now. That's my prayer. That's my prayer in all of this. God would show up and that darkness would be pushed back and that he would just do a mighty, wonderful thing here. But as for me and my house, somebody's going to tell me to do so. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will obey God. As for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. We will gather because the Lord told us to not forsake the gathering of the saints. And so we will gather. And we will worship. And we will pray. How did the Magi know that they needed to disregard, to ignore the requests of the worldly leader? Well, once again, they heard from God. It says, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. So once again, these foreigners were listening to God. That's how they knew what to do and when to do it. That's how they knew when to cross that line or not cross that line, when to stop, when to go. They were listening to God. And in this case, they heard God in a dream. And that sounds strange and mysterious once again. But I'm going to tell you what, God is mysterious. Well, he did that back then with them, but now, you know, we just hear from the pastor, you know, or whatever. That's how we hear from God. Reading the Word of God is the only way we hear from God. Let me tell you what, God is still revealing himself through dreams and visions. He's still doing it. I'm excited about that. I love that about the Lord. In fact, not only is he still doing it, he's doing it even more. He wants to do it even more. He wants us to receive it even more now than back in the day with these wise men. And I can show you in Scripture. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, comes out of the upper room and he preaches a word. And he underscores something that he thought was so important that he quoted Joel, the prophet Joel. And he said, I want you to understand what God is doing now. This New Testament church has just launched. And you're seeing things that you haven't seen. But what it is what Joel prophesied of. And Peter reminds him, he says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams, and that's because old men sleep a lot, especially in the middle of the day, just like that, right? Praise God. I'm one of those guys now. I love it. It's a gift from the Lord. I'll be talking to my wife, next thing I know, I'm snoring, you know? And it's not, anyway. It's true, isn't it? It's true. The church needs wisdom. We need to hear from the Lord. We need to know how to respond to the times. We need to know what God is saying. And so the church, just like these wise men, we need these dreams and visions. We need these prophetic words from the Lord. The Lord has given wisdom to us in the past in these ways, and the Lord is still giving wisdom to us today in these ways. And the beauty of it is that today we have this written word of God that we can pass all of those dreams and visions and words right through to filter, to make sure, yeah, that wasn't just the pizza. God is saying something. And I want to seek him. What are you saying, Lord? And I want to get with some of my brothers and sisters. And I want to talk to them about this. And I want to hear, is God speaking this corporately in the body of Christ? What is the Lord saying? We need wisdom, church, and we can have it. We can have it. It's fully available to us. Wisdom is another one of those amazing gifts from the Lord. Wisdom allows us to understand the times, understand the mysteries of God, and wisdom leads us into the presence of Jesus. Let's stand up as we close. I want to say Merry Christmas once again. And I just want to say this, as God's children, as his church, I want you to look at Christmas this way, that this is a time for you, and it's not only Christmas, obviously, but let's receive it even right now, this Christmas. Let's open it up right now. That I want to encourage you, enjoy seeing the King. Enjoy receiving wisdom. Enjoy the process of seeking, of going after him, of looking for him, of listening for his voice. Enjoy that. And enjoy worshiping Jesus. Enjoy it. And if there's that little clicking sound going on, seek the Lord. He'll show you what needs a little tweak and what needs to be replaced. My son could help with that. Amen. He loves to worship the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your son. We thank you that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus to this earth. And Jesus, we thank you for coming, for giving of yourself. Thank you for making a way for us that we no longer need to be separated from our Heavenly Father, but we have restored relationship for all eternity because of you, Jesus. And Lord, thank you that you give your people, your church, wisdom. And Lord, I ask that we would walk in that grace to receive wisdom, to listen, to hear, that we would have wisdom of the time, wisdom of worship. We'd have wisdom on what to do, what not to do, God. Lord, I ask that you would just pour out your grace on this fellowship of believers right now, that we would be like those wise men, those magi, seeking and hearing and pursuing you. We love you, Jesus. I declare blessing over every family represented here. I speak favor over every family represented here. I declare peace over every family gathering that's going to happen, even this Christmas time. I pray for safety and protection and provision and healing over those in this fellowship that are sick even today. You are good, Jesus. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.